Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
What's up? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, and it's time for everyone's favorite show, Dumb Bleep of the Week. That's where we vote on the dumbest things said in politics this week.
All right, Dumb Bleep number one. This is one that we already talked about earlier in the week, but it's got to be in Dumb Bleep, and it's going to go to Gavin Newsom. This is Gavin Newsom talking about people are alleging that they just cleaned up the city because the commie dictator was coming to town. And he's like, not only is that true, but it's
true. I know
true.
Folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true. But it's also true, for months and months and months prior to AIPAC, we've been having different conversations.
Not only is it true,
it's true.
And should it be dumb? Because this is one of the few times where he told the truth about something.
You know?
So, and that gets him into Dumb Bleep of the Week?
You do have to say something about him openly admitting the fact that, yeah, we let this city just run amok with poo on the streets up until the point that Xi Jinping was coming to town, and then we cleaned it up. Mm-hmm. And you guys called us on it, and you're right. That's what happened. Yeah. I could have done this, or they could have done this. The mayor could have done this for the people who live here and pay the taxes that we just use to clean it up. We could have done this the whole time. But instead, we had to do it right now so we would look better for people that were coming to town. So that is Dumb Bleep number one, Gavin Newsom.
Honestly, I mean, it seems like he took accountability. And that's all you can ask
for. He didn't really take accountability. He made the case for why it was the right thing to do, to wait and then do it right before someone comes to town.
Yep.
You know? But whatever. Dumb Bleep number one. So number two, David Hogg. Wrong kid died. That's what I always yell in my head whenever that happens. David Hogg, he's responding. This is one of those defiant L's. Hypocritical posts.
His orange square didn't really take off, did it?
No.
But he's still going with it.
That did not catch on
okay.
at all. This is in response back in, Now, this is a recent response to Tim Pool, who says raise the voting age to 30.
Which is a response to David Hogg saying.
No, this is two tweets put together right here for the Defiant L's thing. So Tim Pool says raise the voting age to 30. David Hogg responds and says, when your policies are so itty, you have to change who can vote in order to win. But then also, you go back to June of 2019, David Hogg says, retweet if you support lowering the voting age to 16.
Oh.
because he's been, you know, pushing for the young people are going to make the real social change. And so you got to let them vote. I got to admit, I'm torn on the ideas. Like, I know that realistically right now it would be better to raise the voting age up to 30. Like, that makes way more sense. But then at the same time, we're like, well, you know, you should be able to drink and do whatever you want when you're an adult and buy a gun and do all that stuff, drive a car, whatever. And that's because we you look at, like, back in the old days when the country was founded, I mean, look how young some of those people were that were even fighting the revolution and founding the country, you know? Are we just accepting that we've kind of regressed a little bit as far as our maturity goes?
Mm.
Probably. A little bit.
Yeah. It's
just accepting that.
I mean, people in their 20s don't know anything.
Don't believe.
I didn't know anything in my 20s.
No.
I'll tell you that much.
Well, does that mean
but
the
then there's
fathers
something to be,
didn't know anything?
There's something to be said about being able to make decisions as an adult and learning from them, because sometimes you don't learn unless you do. So then are we just going to keep pushing it further and further back? If you think about the founding fathers, they had full-time jobs by the time they were 10.
Mm-hmm.
So when they were 24, 25, 26, and they were running the country, it was like they had already had 10, 15 years of experience.
At the end of the day, what I think would make the most sense, a little bit more controversial, would be just landowners, or at least net taxpayers, if there's going to be taxes, that if you receive money from the things that you vote on, you shouldn't be able to vote to receive other people's money. that's stolen from them.
Yeah.
And that actually makes the most sense. And then you could do that at whatever age you wanted, because you could say, well, just landowners or just net taxpayers, if we're going to have the taxes. And that would, if you're going to vote away other people's money, it's got to be the people who have the money that are voting for those things and not the people that are taking the money.
Well, then they just give it to themselves though, Nate. I mean, come on.
They would give their own money to themselves. Yeah, that's the whole point. They would just stop it.
Yeah.
So, okay. Dumbly number two is David Hogg. A little bit of hypocrisy. Number three, this came from the group. Thanks for sending this over. Mass murder is a choice. The gun industry made it. They have made the choice for mass murder. I can't remember where this came. I think this might have been Rolling Stone or something like that. Mass murder is a choice. We have an article here. And Charlie, if you want to read some, I'll read some.
The modern firearms industry's mission couldn't be clearer. Profiting off the sales of weapons that can turn lone shooters into mass killers or armed discontents into a homeland security threat. It's weird that the firearms industry's mission would be to make firearms that they then sell to people.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes bad people do things, and most of the time, good people don't do anything with them.
I don't see anyone
bad people do things
at Bushnell or Springfield or Glock. No one in that company is being like, oh, yes, now this one's going to kill all those people at that nightclub we hate.
Yeah, that's probably not what's happening.
I hope the right person purchases this one.
But by even manufacturing these things, that is de facto what they're consenting to. They're complicit in the mass murder, Charlie. That's what you have to understand.
Documents produced by the industry's top grade group even advise leaning into the panic buying that can follow mass shootings by targeting a market segment it calls the anxious buyer, shorthand for folks who say they want to buy a firearm before it's too late. It's not because of the mass shooting, it's because everyone talks about banning them afterwards.
Yeah. It's because they're worried the government's going to ban them. That's why the panic buying happens, or the anxious buyer happens.
The market research directs that assault weapons, more frequently targeted for sales restrictions, are the best bets for these would-be gun buyers.
Because they're worried they're going to get banned. And I think about it all the time. Like, I need to go buy some AR-15s before it's too late. I wouldn't even be thinking that if people weren't trying to ban them. De facto, I could end up owning an AR-15 simply because the government is talking about banning them.
And whereas, you get one before they get banned.
And whereas otherwise, I would just put it off and put it off and probably never buy one. And so the only reason I would have an AR-15 is because I'm worried they're going to get banned.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the
I actually specifically bought a model of an AR-15 that was used. This model was not this exact gun, but the model of this gun was used in one of the mass shootings. And the reason why is because they were talking about banning them, and because it was the same model, it drastically went on sale.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I got it at a big discount.
There you go. You got to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
The mass murder in Lewiston was a tragedy, but not an accident. It is a choice. That's one up in Maine. And it's one that the gun industry made and has doubled down on, pushing tens of millions of massacre-ready weapons on the American public. By the industry's own accounting, America's domestic assault weapon arsenal stands at more than 24 million guns, roughly one for every 10 adults, with a record 2.7 million introduced in 2020 alone. I wonder why so many people bought assault weapons in 2020.
How many people have died at the hands of an assault-style weapon? Let's use their terms. AR-15. How many people have died?
Or a massacre-ready weapon, an MRW. You know, gotta go get those MRWs off the street.
How many people do you think of 100, 200? Let's say it's 1,000.
It's not 1,000.
But let's say it is 1,000.
Okay.
Do the math. 24 million guns, 1,000 people have died. Statistically, no one has died from assault weapons.
It's very low.
From assault
and the
guns.
Actual number is like 100.
Right.
And actually per year, it's like 50.
Yeah.
I mean, We're just throwing some numbers out here, but it's a very, very small portion of the gun deaths that occur. Half the gun deaths are suicides in the first place, and most of the other gun deaths are from handguns and normal, like, gang violence and stuff like that. And then you have some of these people who use assault weapons, or whatever. So the Lewiston attack was a logical expression of what gun manufacturers now market assault rifles for: deadly domination. The industry pitches battle-proven AR platform assault rifles to civilians with imagery of special forces troops and taglines like core combat, use what they use, and your mission awaits. Such slogans dovetail with even more reckless marketing from makers of tactical accessories who pitch gear for your daily gunfight, assault packs, and carrying cases with names like Urban Warfare and even Coffin. It's the marketing that does it.
Yeah.
You just got to take on the marketing.
And video games.
Oh, it's not just that, though. This is a male problem, too.
Mm.
Okay. The industry's alpha male sales pitches promise buyers the power to control your destiny. According to law enforcement records, Card had been haunted by phantom voices, including taunts that he had a small dick.
In quotes.
In quotes. That's what they said. The Ruger SFAR, with its thick barrel, is marketed without subtlety as bigger and stronger where it needs to be. So it's not just the big trucks that people are buying, okay? Mm. It's the big SFARs.
Yes.
There you go.
It's just called SDE.
Let me see. I'm trying to figure out where they start talking about the boom.
Well,
that
go back to that one because this is actually true. This is actually true. Assault rifles were never meant for self-defense or hunting. They are bred for infantry warfare and designed to mow down enemy soldiers. Not entirely inaccurate, by the way.
Yeah. Although I've, like, the one time I've gone hunting in the last 20 years, was with an AR-15.
But here's the thing. It's the Second Amendment's not for hunting or hunting either. Self-defense, yes, but it's also for keeping the government at bay.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to argue for anything else.
No, no, that's what it's for.
Yeah. I need my weapons to fight against tyranny,
you know what?
If the time comes.
Ban hunting. Just get outlaw hunting.
Yeah.
Screw you. We still need AR-15s.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
Then they talk about Armalite in the 1950s. Okay. Four factors combined to transform the once marginal AR-15 into America's rifle. That's what AR stands for, America's rifle. First, the assault weapons ban expired in 2004. Second, and most crucially, President Bush signed the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act in 2005. The new law defused efforts by cities and states to sue gun makers for the public health damages of the weapons they sold, much as Big Tobacco was forced to pay massive settlements for the... Gun manufacturers never marketed guns as something that you could shoot someone with and it wouldn't hurt them. Okay? So it's not the same thing as big tobacco.
There's big warnings on there.
Yeah.
It says this will kill you.
There's not a person who thinks, like, I could shoot him in the face, it won't hurt him. It says I'm so in the box right there. It's not going to hurt him. That never happened.
Yeah.
Okay?
Unlike cigarettes.
So no, don't compare this to Big Tobacco, who was out there telling people that they were, you know, your doctor's recommending cigarettes and stuff, okay?
Which totally actually happened. An actual doctor's recommended cigarettes, by the way.
So a third change gave such marketing a patriotic punch. America was now at war, fighting on two fronts in Iraq and Afghanistan, obeying the same perverse profit motives that brought the Hummer into suburban driveways. Gun makers turned the AR-15 into a maker of patriotic consumerism. Even now, the phenomenon has hardly abated. There's a certain type of middle-aged man in this country who, that part doesn't. The fourth change that supercharged the already soaring sales, the election of Barack Obama. A combustible mix of racial anxiety and fears of new regulation elevated the assault rifle into a totem of right-wing tribal identity. So I just want to clarify that numbers 1, 3, and 4 are all the government's fault. Number 2, they say, is legal stuff, which they're just making this up because they're comparing it to big tobacco. Number 1, 3, and 4 are all the government's fault. Like I just told you, the only reason I ever think I need to go buy an AR-15 next week is because I'm worried they're going to be banned the week after that. And that's the only, like, honestly, without that,
I create scarcity in economic terms.
Exactly. They do the marketing for the companies by creating scarcity. Scarcity is one of the most important things in marketing. And anytime you see something like, oh, there's only three left, there's only whatever left, get this, you see that timer counting down on the timer refreshes every time you go to the website. Okay, they put it there to trigger something in your brain to get. We have an option to put that on
unless
our.
You're buying tickets.
On our
way.
Yeah,
that's happened to me before.
We have an option to put that on our God Hates Feds website, and I don't do it because I find it to be so dishonest. Like it's a timer that refreshes every time someone goes to the page.
Yeah.
You're lying to people, telling them that they only have a certain amount of time to buy something. Mm-hmm. But that's what the government does with AR-15s. And so it works beautifully. So when the ban was over, people ran out and grabbed them because they could and because they were banned. They bought them because of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. We shouldn't have been in Iraq and Afghanistan in the first place. So that one shouldn't exist either. Okay, so you can knock out three of these four, and the fourth one's fake, by the government not doing dumb stuff. So anyhow,
go on.
That's all I got. That's all I got for dumb bleep number three.
All right.
For that article. Number four is this picture that was circulating, and I did find some other photos to corroborate the fact that this is going on. It's a picture of two ladies, and they're in Israel, so I can probably be correct in calling these ladies, carrying what seemed to be AR-15-style rifles.
Those look like M16s.
They do look more like they. Now, I know that like you can get a very standard looking AR-15 that has, mm-hmm. you know, that it does look more like an M16. You're right about that. It could be totally could be carrying those on their backs while they're shopping for sunglasses. Okay. And the comment here, this is relevant because this had 7 million views on this guy's post right here, where he puts in quotes, innocent Israeli civilians. And so they're no longer innocent Israeli civilians because here they are walking around in shopping malls carrying guns on their backs.
To protect themselves.
So they're no, you can't call them innocent. And by the way, the top comment says what, Charlie?
They never were. Also, once you bear arms, you're no longer an innocent civilian, let alone military-grade assault rifles.
Military-grade. What's that mean? The cheapest possible?
I love how the anti-Semites are just calling themselves out.
I don't know if that, in this case, it's just complete anti-gun nuts, because you're literally just saying that once you bear arms, you're no longer innocent. Even if you've never hurt anyone, if you've got a gun for protection, a month ago, people were running around, you know, putting people in ovens. Their pets' heads were being cut off, you know, crazy stuff like that. And now they're carrying weapons with them when they're going shopping. And you're just saying, well, now that you're carrying a gun for protection, you're no longer an innocent person. What an idiot.
Real dumb.
What a freaking idiot.
This belongs in Dumb Bleep of the Week.
It should be in Dumb Bleep. Look at that. 7 million views.
Wow.
In how many days? What day is it? In 5 days. I screenshot this yesterday. So in 4 days, 7 million views on that post. That's ridiculous. Okay, so that's dumb bleep number four. Now we get to, I think we can do this on YouTube these days. I don't know, because we're reporting a real story here.
Yeah.
And it's not the actual.
Is this from NBC?
Yeah.
It's like an NBC.
So what is happening now as a result of what we did in 2021, Charlie?
CDC reports highest childhood vaccine exemption rate ever in the U.S., 40 states. The number of kids whose caregivers are opting them out of routine childhood vaccines has reached an all-time high, the CDC reported Thursday, potentially leaving hundreds of thousands of children unprotected against preventable diseases like measles and whooping cough. Not Whoopi Goldberg, mm-mm. Whooping cough.
This is her cough.
Mm-hmm. The report did not dive into the reasons for the increase, but experts said the findings clearly reflect Americans' growing unease about medicine in general. Quote, there is a rising distrust in the healthcare system, said Dr. Amna Hussein, a pediatrician in private practice in North Carolina. Vaccine exemptions have unfortunately trended upward with it. Now, I wonder why.
There's just no way of knowing.
Who would have guessed, you know, when the CDC came out and said, you don't need to wear a mask, but you need to cover up with something. Use a T-shirt or a sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, well, now everyone has to wear a mask.
Yeah.
And then you have to get vaccinated. It's going to prevent you from getting COVID. Well, now it's not going to prevent you from getting COVID. When
you should give it to your kids, even though we've never tested it on kids before. We think it's probably safe because we force some other kids to get it against their will.
When they were giving you false information, obviously that creates a lot of distrust. This is why they should just tell the American people the truth and let people decide, and then they would trust you.
Yeah.
And then you probably wouldn't have something like this happening.
This is what happens when you try to force people to do something. And it's not just libertarians that this happens with. People grow wary of, like, why are they trying to force me to do something? Charlie, I'm going to tell you a secret that I would never tell anyone else. Okay? I'm going to tell you right now. I was going to get the COVID vaccine. I had no problems with getting the COVID vaccine. I figure it's probably mostly safe, probably about as safe as all the other vaccines. That's fine. The only reason I didn't get it was because they were trying to force me to do it. And I didn't want to do that. I wasn't cool with it. I literally had no, I don't think I would have had some kind of vaccine injury from it statistically, you know, so I'm not worried about that. And then at this time, we still thought that they did something. Remind me to cut this out before I put it on YouTube. And so, because I just took that test and I aced it, you know, and they're supposed to take our ban, our strike off in January. I don't want to get extended for another 3 months past now. I was going to get it. But when they started trying to force people to do it, I was like, that's not cool. And I didn't realize that you couldn't, there was no legal recourse if it was ended up being harmful, you know.
Isn't that weird?
And beforehand, at least you had like 10 years worth of testing, you know. So sure, the whole thing where you couldn't sue the companies, that started like back in the 80s, I think. That wasn't something they just started for these vaccines. That had been a thing for a while. But used to, it would be like 10 years before they would actually start giving people a medication. So at least you had a little bit more data of what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So now they can't get in trouble for it, and there's like no long-term data or even medium-term. 10 years is still short-term, technically, especially when you're talking about kids. So, no, just not going to do it. Not going to happen.
And the reason I took it, of course, the live group calls me a sheep. That's fine. I had the same analysis as Nate, and the only reason I did it, because I was like, it's going to be relatively safe. I'm pretty healthy. I'm probably not going to have adverse effects to it. Now, maybe I will have long-term effects I don't know of yet. It's possible. But I chose convenience over anything else. And I wanted to travel overseas and to make it easier on myself to get in and out of countries and fly on an airplane. I decided to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
It's the only reason. If I wasn't going to be traveling overseas, I probably wouldn't have done it. And it wasn't because anybody was telling me to. I made the choice.
Well, you think you were making the choice, but actually someone else is pulling the strings. Okay, that's Dumb Belief number 5. We still got like 5 more coming up, so don't go anywhere because they're going to get extra special dumb on Liberty Unite on the Free Talk Live Network.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
U.S. USA News Update. A deal between Israel and Hamas to release hostages has been reached. Israeli's cabinet approved the deal this evening, according to NBC News. There's still a 24-hour period where the families of victims of Hamas could appeal to the Supreme Court. The deal would include a multi-day ceasefire and around 50 Israeli and international hostages freed in different waves. Also, Palestinian women and children currently detained in Israel will be released as well. A U.S. military aircraft killed hostile forces by firing on a vehicle after an attack on American and coalition forces in Iraq. That's according to a senior U.S. official. Retailers anticipate a quieter season at the cash registers this holiday. Best Buy, Lowe's, and Kohl's have reported sales declines in the recent quarters and anticipate a decrease in holiday sales compared to the previous year. Dave Collins, U.S. News.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
And we're back. Let's get back into Dumb Bleep of the Week. Okay, number six. This was a fun one. Big deal here. Pink. Remember Pink?
Oh, yeah. She's got a great voice.
Pink will give away thousands of banned books at her Florida shows because you just can't get these books in Florida. The state has banned them. There's just nowhere you can get the books.
In fact, there's Border Patrol. Last time I drove into Florida, I had to pass through.
They check you for contrabooks when you're going through there. Yeah. Make sure you're not carrying when you're going through there. And they make sure
and
you have
Amazon looks at your location whenever you're ordering. Yeah.
And they send it directly.
You can't even download an Audible.
Email.
You can't even download an Audible.
No, Audible's banned in Florida. It doesn't even work when you go through there.
No, as soon as you cross the state line. I went to that Floribama bar when I went to Gulf Shores. You know, they're right on the border.
Yeah.
And it depended on what side of the bar I was on, my book would stop
playing. Dude, they're so strict, I was worried to go into the Florida-Georgia Line Bar here in Nashville, because I didn't know what laws they follow in that place. You know? It's risky.
Exactly.
Risky going in there. Moral of the story is some schools have banned some books for, like, kids. I'm not saying that I totally agree with all of their book bans, but anyway, Pink is going to give away thousands of banned books to people who are at a show in public where they could still just buy the book. You know where she got the books? From local bookstores. She bought the books from local bookstores in Florida. The banned ones. That's where she got the books. It says so. Pink.
She bought books in Florida to give away banned books in Florida.
Pink has teamed up with the charity PEN America to take a stand against book bans in Florida, announcing on Instagram over the weekend that she plans to give away 1,000 banned books at each of her shows in the state on November 14th and 15th. Now, she's not giving away 1,000 different banned books. She's giving away 1,000 copies of 4 banned books. As a mom of 2 young readers, I can't imagine letting someone else decide what my children can and cannot read.
They don't get to!
The point is for the parents to be able to decide what their children can and can't read, by the way. Like, if you want your kid to read the thing, then go buy the book. You can still buy the book. Like, she proved it because she bought the books
in Florida
to support local bookstores. Another funny thing was, to follow up in this, she posted, can you believe these books are banned in Florida? She posted the following are some titles of books that have been banned from schools in Florida. Because some of her fans, some people were saying, well, you want kids to see pornography? And she's been responding with, no, I don't particularly like pornography, and I don't really want kids to see pornography. But tell me which one of these is pornography. Okay? To Kill a Mockingbird?
Now, why was that one banned?
That was banned by left-leaning people.
Because it said the N-word.
And had a white savior in the book, which is problematic. But there's a bigger problem.
Same with The Hate U Give. Same with Forrest Gump.
No, the thing is, look at the context added at the bottom. To Kill a Mockingbird, The Hate U Give, Forrest Gump, A Catcher in the Rye, The Hill We Climb, Girls Who Code, Atlas Shrugged, 1984, The Kite Runner, The Blue... You know what? Go to your shows and freaking hand out Atlas Shrugged to everyone. That's fine.
Why don't you go 1984.
I'll chip in money for this. Yes. Okay, do it. Give all your fans a copy of 1984, please. The Kite Runner, The Bluest Eye, Wrinkle in Time, The Diary of Anne Frank, The Fault in Our Stars, etc., etc. I've never read that one, but I'll have to look it up. This list has been proven incorrect. These books are not banned in Florida. In fact, some are on Florida's required reading list. Fact check. Fake list of banned books. Florida book circulates widely online. This was going around back when all the book banning was happening. There was a list of all these super popular books.
See, she's believing misinformation.
Exactly. She actually, and here's my thinking on this, she actually started this initiative because she thought that the fake list she saw was an actual list of banned books in Florida.
And didn't look it up.
And didn't actually
look it up. And neither did her team.
Yeah.
And so the whole team.
So they started this thing. To give away books because she saw this completely ridiculous list of banned books and then was like, oh, crap, those aren't banned, which she just found out a few days ago, I think, and now they're giving away these other The Hill We Climb, Girls We Code, and a couple of the other books. So,
where's the part where she says she bought them from a local bookstore?
Oh, that was on was
that an article?
It was on the caption of one of the photos that I ended up taking after I made this presentation last night. So let me just double check here. Pink purchased all 2,000 books from local bookseller Books and Books. Each title has been banned in at least one Florida district, according to PEN America. Okay, now we're going to watch a video. Time for this, and we are going to be talking about the way of the world. And there is this video that was circulating. Got a couple million views here. Dr. Jebra Fache says, this is a response to this video, says the circle of life can be summed up like this. You're born, you work, pay taxes, and then die. Following generations repeat the process. This girl gets it.
Work until we have to die just for the privilege of being alive. Huh? Like, we never asked to be born, but now we're obligated to do labor until we die. Huh? We have to work somewhere just to afford a house that we're never at because we're working to afford the house. Huh? Is the meaning of life to work and pay taxes and then die? On top of that, we also have to work to afford our vehicle to get to work in other places and afford gas just to get to work. And we also have to pay taxes for our roads to drive on to get to work. With the privilege of food, which we should just be able to have, pretty much just work and die. Let's not forget about life insurance just in case we almost die. And then we have to work for our children to go to school to learn how to work so our children know how to work for their children so that their children can go to school and go to work. Like, somebody tell me that this is fair. Like, is it lazy to just want to enjoy life?
Like, why do we have to work? Why?
Nobody's making you work.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Don't work.
Do less.
Don't get life insurance, because that's actually for when you die.
No.
Anyway.
Don't buy food.
Yeah. Don't drive on the roads. Don't do anything.
This is one of those great... Here's the problem. She says, like, one of the first things she says about things is, like, we have to work to buy food, which we should just be able to have. How do you get the food?
You know the old saying, money doesn't grow on trees. Food actually grows on trees.
Food does grow on trees.
You plant yourself a food tree.
You got to work. Like, someone has to plant the tree, and someone has to make sure it stays in good shape and bears as much fruit as it possibly can.
I mean, she could go back to the 1600s and 1700s if she wants to.
You have to work to buy a car so you can go to work? Like, no, someone should just work so they can give you a car. So you're still saying people have to work because the things have to be created. So this goes back to how many years have we been saying this? What the socialist mindset is that I shouldn't have to work, but other people should have to work to supply things to me. Mm. But I shouldn't have to work. But what about that person who's making the car? They shouldn't have to work. So who's going to make the car? Well, someone else will have to. Well, then that means they have to work. Well, if we all have the right to not work, then none of us are ever going to have anything.
Everyone already has the right not to work.
Yeah. It's just
don't have
suck.
To work. Go pillage through the forest, well, hunt for your food.
Costco says start a garden, but guess what? That's also known as work. That takes time. You got to expend some effort to go out there. And that's what people used to have to do. And if you want to have... Like, if you want to have your ridiculous face piercings and face tattoos and do all your tie-dye sealing in your car and stuff like that, then you're going to have to go work and produce things of value so you can get things of value from other people that they're producing. Because she didn't make that piercing or tattoo or... A face or anything like that. Like, other people had to produce
the car. Didn't come with that tie-dye ceiling,
which just trade. That's all we're doing. You have something of value that you provide. Some people that don't make anything, their only thing of value that they have is their time and their labor, and they can offer that. They can hit some buttons for some time until the robot learns how to do it.
Yeah. And then this part, I think the real dumb though is this person, this Dr. Jebra Fauci.
Fauci.
I don't think she's a real doctor.
No.
Anyway, she says...
But she has a white coat on.
The circle of life can be summed up like this. You're born, you work, pay taxes, and then die. Following generations repeat the process. This girl gets it.
Thanks, Doc. That's awesome.
I just feel like you can't explain basic concepts to these people.
Do you
it's
think-
like, how do you get... Just
do you think people in socialist countries didn't have to be born and then work and then pay to their government or whatever and then die? Do you think that people before these governments or before we had capitalism or whatever as a system, do you think that those people weren't born and then had to work every day of their lives to survive until they died at the age of 38? From old age.
Only got a couple of years left.
I know.
No wonder your shoulders fall apart.
I'm like a...
Thinking back to like the American Indians, I would say that that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, because they didn't really have like governments, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they still had tribes. Still had chiefs. They elected chiefs, or it was the chief's line, bloodline,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, they got the chiefs.
So they still had some form of organization. I don't know if they had laws, but I'm sure they weren't okay with you just killing people inside your own tribe for no reason.
Probably not.
So they probably had some form of law, some kind of moral code. But anyway, they didn't, I guess they didn't have jobs, except
each person probably had something that
you had
they
to make
did.
Clothes,
yeah.
Or you had to hunt, or you had to pillage other tribes for their stuff, or you had to trade with them. You had to make cups out of horns.
Or you had to
go down to the river to get water,
like
or you had to build fires, or you had to take care of the children, or you had to...
Also known as work.
You had to garden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You weren't exchanging money for it, so it wasn't as efficient as what we have right now.
By the way, you could still go do those things if you don't consider that work.
Go do it.
then you can go do that. Still do that in America.
But that's still work. It is.
It's technically still
the
work.
The human condition requires some type of labor to survive.
Yeah.
From the time you're a child. Like, you must expend labor or you'll just die. In fact, animals are the same way.
Well,
they
she
must
said,
go out
though,
and find
why
food
can't
and water.
We just enjoy life?
How are you going to enjoy it if
first
you don't
all,
have a bunch of slaves out there making stuff for
first
you?
First of all, you have to define enjoyment. What does enjoyment look like to you?
Some people enjoy being productive in society. I wouldn't enjoy it if I wasn't being productive.
I know. Everyone always talks about retirement. I'm like, I don't think I'll ever retire.
Why, you're
that
like,
sounds boring.
Like, you imagine if I come onto this podcast, I'm like, oh, God, guys, I can't wait until the day where I get to stop talking to you guys. Like, no, I'm not talking about retirement.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
What do you, in fact, I think statistics show this, too. Like, after people retire and they don't do anything, they
it's
die
worse.
Much faster.
It's worse.
Yeah, because you don't have, we need problems to solve. The world just doesn't hand you things. It would be amazing if you could just lay there in a house that built itself with plumbing that built itself and the earth just magically brought those Christmas trees from Little Debbie. The earth just magically unwrapped that for you and placed it in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And then moved your mouth.
Oh,
I just
lay
there all the for time. You and then helped you swallow by rubbing the earth just did that. For you.
Yeah. But no, you have to expend some energy to do that. Okay, we got to move on to dumb bleep. That was all number 7, whatever you want to call it. Number 8 is just going to be Nikki Haley because she's been extra dumb this week. And I will admit, I'm embarrassed that I called her in the first Republican presidential debate. She came out swinging like she was freaking Mrs. Ron Paul out there for like the first 5 minutes. And then it was all downhill from there. I got prematurely excited about Nikki.
Yeah.
Okay, but
she still leans authoritarian.
A crazy neocon authoritarian.
Yeah.
Is what she actually is. Here's one thing we just talked about this yesterday, which is doing pretty well on YouTube, by the way. I forgot to tell you.
Oh, nice.
Thousands of TikTok users are siding with Osama bin Laden, who murdered 3,000 Americans. This is a prime example of how our foreign enemies poison social media to advance their evil agenda. Hashtag ban TikTok. Stop giving the Chinese Communist Party the ability to influence Americans.
Stop letting them read letters that people actually wrote.
Yeah. Now, to TikTok's credit, they have been banning, they have been removing some of these videos because they have terms of service against promoting terrorism. And so some of these have actually been getting removed, not really, I don't want to say to their credit, but as a rebuttal to what Nikki Haley just said, they've actually been removing some of these things.
Which is ridiculous.
Personally, I think it's a good idea for people to be able to read this and understand why things happen. Okay, even if most of it was dumb.
Yeah, that way we know not to vote for you,
yeah.
Nikki. Thanks.
At this point, I'm like, she is a CIA plant. She has to be, because she's like, oh, people shouldn't be reading about why Osama bin Laden detailed all of our war crimes across the globe over decades. And sure, he was upset about Sharia law. Like, he was crazy when it comes to that whole part. And
he had several grievances.
He had a lot of grievances. Some of them were correct. Some of them, like, you...
Do you remember how many grievances we had in the Declaration of Independence?
I forgot to mention the Declaration of Independence yesterday, but it was sounded like the grievances that were listed out on that. And I wonder, I was going to mention yesterday, is if he meant to list it out, like the grievances to the king, that kind of thing.
Very similar.
So,
except, you know, TJ was writing, you know, you sit up there in your high horse castle.
Yeah.
Looking over across the pond at us and our tiny sheds.
Osama bin Laden was like, Durka, Durka, Durka. Muhammad Jihad.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, Durka, Durka, Durka. So anyhow, that's one of the things from Nikki Haley. That's dumb. People should be able to hear these things. We've also got a few videos from her. Which one should we go towards? She's upset about Vivek Ramaswamy and the way that he acted in the recent debate. You know why he acted that way? Because she's a woman.
What happens? He comes out of the gate. He hits the female chair of the party. He hits the female anchor.
Unfortunately, not in the way that he should have.
On the platform. And then he hits me. And I'm not saying anything.
I ain't saying, I'm just saying.
But he might have a girl problem. I'm just saying he might have a girl problem.
Okay. So
he didn't actually physically hit anyone.
No. So he hates women. That's why he's attacking them. And then she has a new social media policy.
I hate this. Like, if you don't want to play the game, don't get in the game.
Yeah, she's...
You can't go out there and be like, well, I can do the job just as well as any man, and then use the fact that you're a woman to say, like, oh, well, you can't make fun of me because I'm a woman. No, you don't get special privileges. If you want to be equal, be equal.
Unfortunately, she wants to be... Now, she's like the media's pick for the Republican front runner these days. It seems like the establishment's pick for the Republican front runner, even though she's nowhere close. And do you really want your Republican, your conservative, your Republican Party front runner to be saying, you criticize me because I'm a woman, and you only criticize the person who runs the Republican Party who does nothing but lose because she's a woman, and that's the only reason.
And then I'm not going to say anything. But I'm going to say something.
Yeah, but I'm saying
it. Maybe he has a girl problem.
Not saying it, but...
I don't know if the guy has a girl problem.
All right, here we go. No, he doesn't have a girl problem. He's rich. He can get over girls he wants.
Isn't he married?
Yeah, he's married.
He's married. Mm-hmm.
All right, here's her social media plan.
When I get into office, the first thing we have to do, social media accounts, social media companies, they have to show America their algorithms. Let us see why they're pushing what they're pushing. The second thing is every person on social media should be verified by their name. That's, first of all, it's a national security threat. When you do that, all of a sudden people have to stand by what they say, and it gets rid of the Russian bots, the Iranian bots, and the Chinese bots. And then you're going to get
should
some stability
Jews
when people know their name.
Their
name,
so we know they're Jews.
And they know they're...
What a great idea.
Yeah.
What a great idea for the party of the federal government has been weaponized against conservatives to come out and say...
We need to register
everyone. You need to register everyone on social media. That way the government knows exactly who it is that's saying every single thing. When we have a government founded by people who use pseudonyms to write the Federalist Papers in the first place.
Yeah.
Because it's just... Good Lord. I hope no one's fallen for this mess. I really do.
It's one big party.
It is.
Republicans and Democrats, they're the same.
Okay.
You got Trump out there, free college. Nikki Haley wanting to register everyone.
You got to put your actual name on. God. And you got to verify.
Which
it
is going to disproportionately affect people of color because they don't have IDs. Licenses.
This is a racist policy.
This is.
It is.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, okay. Let's go on to the very last one. The Economist, which is a super old publication from the UK, says that Trump presents the world's biggest danger in 2024. Donald Trump does. So this is number 9. The Economist says former President Trump presents the world's biggest danger in 2024. The respected 180-year-old British newspaper said a second Trump term would be a watershed in a way the first was not. And the fate of the world will depend on the ballots of tens of thousands of voters in just a handful of states in the 2024 presidential election.
Like, how can that be democracy if only tens of thousands of people get to decide?
I don't know. The Economist said in its annual World Ahead Guide Thursday that another 4 years of Trump in the White House would be more damaging than his previous term. China and his friends would rejoice over the evidence that American democracy is dysfunctional. American democracy is dysfunctional if the people vote to elect Donald Trump in 2024. It's not dysfunctional if they don't vote to elect Donald Trump. I don't know if you're, picking up what they're laying down. And Beijing could easily miscalculate over Taiwan with catastrophic consequences. And Russian President Vladimir Putin would have an incentive to fight on in Ukraine. Yeah, because he invaded Ukraine while Trump was in office.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got great evidence that when Trump was in office, the world was way worse.
And you have evidence that he's backing off now that Biden's president.
Yeah. Definitely Biden is holding off Russia and Ukraine. That's great. Great idea, everyone. The greatest threat Trump poses is to his own country, the Economist argues. The moral authority of the U.S. would decline because America will have voted him in while knowing the worst. That is, that he's Hitler. I'm kidding. While pursuing his enemies, Trump will wage war on any institution that stands in his way, including the courts and the Department of Justice, the Economist. that kind of makes me want to have him in office, honestly. But I don't believe that he would actually
War against all of the corrupt regulators that aren't voted in.
You know, I don't think he'll actually do it because he didn't do it the first time. They spied on his campaign, and then he became president. And you know what he did? He signed on for a new agency, CISA, C-I-S-A, in 2018. That has done even more spying, and we just learned
probably
from...
Probably because in the room, they'll be like, we promise we won't spy on you anymore if you just...
We just learned from more Twitter files type stuff that CISO is one of the ones directing some of the censorship that was going on, and that was something that Trump signed off on after his freaking campaign was spied on. So no, I don't think Trump's going to do anything, honestly. And it doesn't matter if he does, if you keep the institutions in place anyway, they're just going to get replaced with evil... snakes afterwards, and it'll be even worse. Regardless, 2024 is going to be fun for us on the podcast, for us as Americans.
You have so much anxiety.
Just so you know, it's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
If Trump wins, it'll be terrible because the left is the most terrible vermin that exists on this planet. Okay, and we're going to have to listen to them talk loudly for 4 years.
They're such bad losers.
Okay, yeah. And if Trump...
The right isn't much better.
If Trump loses, then people on the right, I don't know what they're going to do. If he loses and he goes to prison... That might actually be the Civil War time that happens because they're going to try to stage a freaking prison break for him or something.
Are you calling?
They're going to try to break him out of his own house arrest.
Are you calling for a Civil War?
No, I'm not calling for it. I'm saying January 6th was a cakewalk of all cakewalks, which was already kind of a cakewalk. But I think it'll get way worse. Regardless, it's going to be terrible.
This is a tough vote.
Yeah, so let's get the votes in.
Go sign up at the Fed Haters Club. By going to goodmorningliberty.us, that's the new website Nate just designed. It looks good, man.
Thank you.
Good job.
Appreciate you.
Anyway, go to goodmorningliberty.us. That's the point of this. Or don't. I don't care either way. Go share the show with a friend. Or not. Again, I don't care. Vote in the dumb bleep of the week. Or don't. I don't really care. Either way, looks like Pink is going to win this one.
Yep.
Any mail-in ballots we got to count?
They come in tomorrow night.
Okay.
So
this might,
I'll let you know after I get done printing them.
This might change.
Yep.
Then. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you do or don't do all those things, Pink won. I'm calling it. Until Nate changes the vote tomorrow.
Pink is the winner.
Pink wins. Dumb Bleep of the Week.
Go to joingmail.com so you can vote every week on what the dumbest thing was. And make sure you find our daily podcast, Good Morning Liberty, on your favorite podcast app. We'll see you next week.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
It seems like every day economic news gets more and more sketchy. We're already seeing huge volatility in the stock market and a rapid erosion in the value of the U.S. dollar. But this time, an economic downturn could happen faster than you ever imagined. Direct Bullion USA, America's number one precious metals company, wants to let you know that now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Direct Bullion USA at 888-787-GOLD and get your free gold investor kit today. Don't wait. Call Direct Bullion USA now at 888-787-4653 and get your free gold and silver survival kit. With all of the uncertainty of a world gone mad, you can take control of your financial future with one call to Direct Bullion USA. Call us now at 888-787-4653. That's 888-787-GOLD.